This is Shannon Ray Davis, and you are listening to Omega Man Radio. Welcome to my world, the world of the Omega Man. Join us here for the nightly marathon, broadcasting Monday through Friday. Get trained up. War on the Saints is coming. You want to be an overcomer and endure till the end. We will teach you how. We cast out devils. We command healing to the sick in Jesus' name. And we preach the full gospel of Jesus Christ to win souls for Jesus. If you'd like to support this work financially, we have a PayPal button on our website. We have GoFundMe, Zelle, even take Bitcoin. And we thank you in advance for partnering with us. Our website is OmegaManRadio.com. One more thing before we start tonight's show. To the demons, tune in. We're coming for you, demon. No demon is safe. Everybody, welcome aboard. You have asked for them, and we got them back for you. We got T-Squared tonight. We've got Major Tom and Professor Tom. How are y'all gentlemen doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Tom, how are you doing?
I'm doing really well. However, I will ask for a little prayer for people. Thursday, I go in at 6 in the morning, and I have elbow surgery.
Ooh.
I had an elbow. Yeah. I banged it up playing baseball 40 years ago, and finally I'm getting it fixed.
Wow. Well, that's good news then.
Well, one thing, though, when it happened, they really didn't have the technology to fix my elbow. So for 40 years, I've had one nerve in there that has not worked.
Oh, wow.
And they finally have figured out how to fix that. And they're going to do that.
Man, that's exciting.
Praise God.
Well, let's pray right now.
Yes.
Major Tom, you want to start off in prayer for Professor Tom?
Yes, please. Dear Heavenly Father, as we gather together right now, we ask in your sacred name, Yahuwah, and in Yahshua, Jesus of Nazareth, that you look down upon Tom right now and give him favor, give the surgeons the skill, and cause the surgery to be successful, or in your hands it can be done.
Amen.
And in none other, we thank you, Father. Lord, we pray that you be with all of us now in these times that are approaching us, where you show that they are dangerous times, even unto the loss of salvation. We should not be complacent over our salvation itself, but be ever vigilant.
Amen.
In whatever happens to us, that we be humble and willing quickly to come to you in repentance and seeking forgiveness and receiving your forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, and for those that don't know you, we ask, Lord, that you reach out and bring everyone that is willing to respond to your drawing of your Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I say amen to that. I just add to that prayer, we plead the blood of Jesus over you, Tom. God, and loose your angels to go in there with him and get him in and out. Guide the hand of the surgeons and let him come through with 100% speedy recovery, successful operation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Gentlemen, stand by just a second. MixLR is telling me I lost my connection there. We're still recording, though, so it's not a problem. But my internet may be weak, so give it just a minute.
You get spoiled with good internet in the States. Now you got to go back to Indonesia.
Isn't that the truth, man? Shoot. We got some people over there at like 1 gigabyte, and I'm sitting over here, you know, still pretty good, but nowhere near that speed. Okay, we're going to keep going. Give me just a second. Let me turn on my backup. Yep, we're recording, so we're good. Gentlemen, welcome back, and we've got the next hour together. I'm going to turn the microphone over to you. Take it away.
Okay. I think what happens, you know, every once in a while, and we have a whole book for them, The Sharp Edge of the Sword, is Major Baird's book of prophecies that he has received over the years. And looks like we may have another one before long. But on the 28th at 0300 in the morning, Major Baird got a night vision. And it was an interesting night vision. Not something he usually gets. But I get a feeling we're going to be having more of them because of the times we live in. We've seen April 8th, we're going to have a solar eclipse in much of the United States. I think Colorado is getting about 20%, so we will probably not notice it very much here. But we got the last one pretty directly, so it's somebody else's turn. But I see that as a sign, a warning to the United States. Some people say two, some people say eight, but they're in the path of this thing is eight towns called Nineveh. That's statistically impossible, almost, for one solar eclipse to go over eight towns named Nineveh. Yes, some of them aren't quite on the path, but they're close enough that it's still significant. In fact, a correlation coefficient would be about one, if some of you know what I'm talking about math-wise. And you don't get a correlation coefficient of one very many times in anything you do in mathematics. So this becomes significant. But if we were to study Jonah, which we won't do tonight, I think sometime we will, we're going to look at Jonah. He goes to Nineveh. Remember, this guy is not a fly-by-night prophet. You read in the book of 2 Kings where he is a well-known prophet. He is a credible prophet. The things he says come to pass. But the thing that's very, very hard for Jonah is he is asked to go to Assyria. He doesn't want to do it. He wants to stay home and be comfortable. Because going to Assyria is like going to the country of your enemy and saving them from judgment. And I can't imagine Jonah wanted to do that. In fact, if he did it and he did save them, he would never be able to go home. He would be considered a traitor. But under that light, now we're seeing, he said, in 40 days, if Nineveh doesn't repent in 40 days, judgment will come. Nineveh will be destroyed. The interesting thing is the people of Nineveh, who really knew nothing about our Heavenly Father, they had their own Elohim they worshipped. But they took this word, and not only did they wear sackcloth and ashes, they made their animals wear sackcloth and ashes. they repented. And it would be 100 years before Nineveh would come under judgment. See, Jonah's prophecy was right, but when we repent, we are given reprieves. You go to 2 Chronicles 33. We saw the kingship of Manasseh, the most wicked king that either the northern or the southern kingdom ever had. He brought idolatry to a new level. And because of that, our Heavenly Father said, "This is enough. You are going into captivity." But the next king, or the next king after Manasseh's son failed, his name is Amon, I believe, is Josiah. What did Josiah do? He repented. And he tore down everything that had to do with idolatry. He cleaned out that kingdom, and he had a Passover that's bigger than anything David had done. Anything clear back to the times of the judges, of Samuel. And suddenly, this country was given a 40-year reprieve because of Josiah's righteousness. But then came Zedekiah. There came Jehoiachin. And to quote my mother, they were stinkers. Jeremiah tried to warn these guys. In fact, with Jehoiachin, Jeremiah pronounced a curse on his line. And that line is the line of Solomon, which is why when you go to Zechariah and see the houses that repent, you don't see the house of Solomon repent. You see the house of Nathan. Why the house of Nathan? Because he's the next son in the line of David that would rule should Solomon's line be severed. And I am seeing that right now. Suddenly we see the king of England. He's suddenly very sick. They took him off out of Buckingham Palace in a helicopter, and he has not been seen since. What's going on there? Suddenly, Kate Middleton has announced that she's sick with cancer. There is a curse working, and we're seeing it now. 40 days does the United States have from April 8th. That makes it May 18th. And if I recall right, that is the Feast of Pentecost. We don't have very long, people. We don't have very long. I wasn't planning to do this. I was going to have Major Bear do his show his vision, but suddenly this came on me. It's repentance time. So, Tom, do you want to go ahead and tell about your vision?
Major Tom, see if you're muted. You may be muted there, my friend. I'm showing you connected, but I'm not hearing anything, Major Tom. Check and see if your mute switch is on. Or maybe your headset is unplugged. Okay, let me do this. Let me, Brother Mac, you still with me?
Yes, I am.
Okay, you're coming through good. Let me get Major Tom back on. He was still showing connected, but no audio coming from his side. Let me try him again. Okay. By the way, he said his computer's not on, so I think the only way we can get him... Wait a minute. Let's see. I'm showing him another way. Let me try his computer Skype. Hang on. It's showing green now.
Sure.
We'll get him back on.
I think he probably turned it on.
Okay. Hey, and that's a very important thing you brought out there since we've had our last program, a lot has transpired, including, you know, this sudden illness of not only King Charles, but Kate Middleton, too. Both of them with cancer.
Yes.
That doesn't sound like a coincidence to me.
No, but there is a thing in the family line.
Major Tom?
Called hemophilia.
Hold that thought 1 second. Major Tom, can you hear us now?
Yeah, I've got my computer up, too.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, sir. We can hear you. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay.
I do have my computer up also now.
Okay. Did I call you on your computer or your cell phone? What did you answer?
I don't know why this decided to just cut itself out.
I'm not sure. Let me try you back on
your... We can go with it.
Your other... Let me try him back on his other connection. Hold on. No worries. Okay, let's see.
Yeah.
Let's get him back because the other connection was better. Okay. Hold that thought. I want you to pick back up on that. Of course, we've got plenty of time for the Major to read that vision, which he's going to do tonight. Very important.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Okay. I'm trying to see.
Okay, he's gone. Let's try him again, Major. Let's try Major.
I think he's trying to merge through mine.
Okay.
Hello?
Hey.
Yes.
There,
we got you? Okay.
Yeah.
You're good. And I can see you. You're looking
really
good.
We actually have... We've done this really weird. He's called me. I've merged to sin.
It works.
And I'm really encouraged that it's worked because...
Well, normally
we might be able to do this some other times.
Yeah, normally I got to merge them in. So maybe they've upgraded Skype to allow that capability.
Yes, it has. And
you can hear me?
It also might.
Major Tom?
Yes, I've got you 5x5.
Okay, well, that's great. Okay, let's continue. I want you to share the vision in just a moment, Major Tom, but Professor Tom Mack brought up a very good point. We've got two people in the royal family that have cancer, stomach cancer, I think, in her case. And what, did he have prostate cancer? I'm not sure. But nonetheless, you know, cancer is bad news. And, you know, I got to thinking, I wonder if Kate had become so embittered over all these scandals that have been going on that, you know, literally bitterness and unforgiveness will eat people alive. Now, I don't know. I may be totally off base here, but there's a warning, folks. Bitterness and unforgiveness can bring in cancer even. Again, I don't know if that's the case with her, but that's the first thing that came
to me.
There
is a lot of research to suggest that cancer comes from bitterness, from anger, from frustration. That's why it's so important, because Wynne Worley learned years ago that if you let anger, frustration, and bitterness get into you, they're going to invite cancer in next.
That poor family, they've had so much infighting and jostling for position. But that aside, let me jump to the next point, which was you've mentioned about this this eclipse that's coming. It went over first went over a city called Jonah, and then it's going over seven cities called Nineveh. Is that correct?
Eight.
Well, yeah, one of them is in Canada. Seven of them are in the United States.
So, gentlemen, when God sent Jonah to Nineveh, God was ready to destroy them inside 40 days. Was that correct?
Very much so.
And had they not had a mass repentance, that destruction would have come about. Do you think that we've got...
Well, here's two things that you'd have to think about.
Yes, continue, please.
Number one, if Nineveh had not repented in that period of time, the northern kingdom would have never been invaded by Assyria. And the southern kingdom wouldn't have been severely weakened by Assyria. We would have had a total historical shift in the balance of power, which would have meant Israel would have Northern Israel would be stronger, so would southern Israel. But the worst part would be that the wickedness of northern Israel would become so great. Because remember, the tribe of Dan is mixed into that piece. And the tribe of Dan, their symbol is the snake. They're an adder that bites the feet, according to Jacob. That's sort of a bad thing to say about your son.
Oh, that's right.
But it's Jacob's fault. Because what did Jacob do? That was the first time he decided to procreate with someone other than his wife. He procreated with his wife's concubine. And that's where we got Dan.
So
he was the firstborn.
King Charles has long been thought to be have Jewish heritage, but not from the crown of David, but rather from Dan. Is that what I heard?
No. This is a different story entirely, because you know Lund Dan, Swede Dan,
yes,
Danmark. You see all that mixed in there.
Danube.
Yeah, there you go, Danube River.
Oh.
And I'm missing a few of them.
Because he's said to have been head of the Catholic Church, the Anglican Church, rather, excuse me.
Right.
A descendant of one of the 12 tribes. And then thirdly, reportedly he converted to Islam, according to one of the imams. What do you know about that, Major Tom?
That I only heard that. I haven't confirmed it or anything, so I don't know.
Yes.
Well, really, nobody has confirmed it. The only thing is he wanted to be the defender of the faiths, plural. Which, major problem. Major problem with a lot of Anglican authorities.
Yes.
Because he's supposed to be the defender of the faith.
Yeah.
Meaning the Anglican faith.
From what I understand, he comes from, remember the two twins, Frez and
I'd go to Genesis and look that up for you.
Yeah. From Judah. Anyway, the tribe that normally is the holder of the realm, if you want to put it that way, came from the one tribe that stayed with the Israelites in Egypt, but the other tribe left Egypt and went into the Greek islands and founded Sparta and founded Athens and so on. And it was from that particular branch of the tribes coming from Jacob or Israel that then they actually follow the lineage from the, him.
Zerah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I had to look that up. It's in Genesis 38, 29, and 30, people. So you might want to mark that down.
Yeah. So he does have royal lineage from Jacob. They can trace it all the way back, of course, from Jacob. Then they can go all the way back to Abraham.
They go back to David. David.
Yeah, they go back to David. But then they also go back all the way back to Abraham. And from there, Noah. And from Noah, all the way back to Adam.
Mm-hmm. I have a little chart of that. And now I'm going to have to call a friend of mine and see if I can get permission to let people see it.
I think where I was going with that was, since our last program, of course, he's ascended to the throne. Of course, some have tagged him to be the Antichrist. When I heard he had cancer, I said, boy, We're going to find out real quick or not if that prophecy was true or not, because if he's dead, well, then that was wrong.
Well, true. Yeah, he is a type of Antichrist anyway. He has the spirit of Antichrist. So
yes.
in that respect, he is there. But at the same time, he may or may not be the beast.
Now, let me ask you, gentlemen, this. Back to what y'all started the program with, which were these, the eclipse. And you said starting in Canada, and it's going over 8 locations named Nineveh.
It starts in Texas.
Eagle Pass, Texas, by the way, has become quite a sore point because of all the immigration that's gone through there.
Yeah.
Isn't that the truth?
Going through Texas, corner of Oklahoma,
Illinois.
Up into Illinois, Ohio, Pennsylvania, up into New England, and then out Nova Scotia. Another interesting place it goes over is Oak Island.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, and I just... Nobody's mentioned that. Now, if somebody has, please tell me. I would like to talk to them. But Oak Island is very important. Our friend Olaf Hagee, which we just missed getting him on Omega Man.
Yes.
He knew about this stuff. He knows about the fact that Cain was buried in Oak Island until the father of Joseph Smith opened the trap. There was a water trap to keep the secrets hidden. But what it did, it loosed Cain. And suddenly, what do we have in the East Coast? We have Christian Science. We have Mormonism. We have Seventh-day Adventism. All the cults suddenly come out of there within that period of time because of Oak Island.
It almost seems like this occurrence here is almost like a tour of America, the last tour. Is this the last opportunity, the last warning potentially for America to repent before judgment would fall?
Yes, it does appear that this is a actual judgment warning from God himself. And I'm beginning to appreciate that particular understanding much more so since the 28th of March he allowed me to participate in an open vision.
Why don't you share vision with us at this time? Go ahead.
All right. Well, at 3:00 in the morning on the 28th, I woke up and I saw the large surface of the entire universe before me. And it was vast and dark. And on the right side, now as I'm looking over this surface of the universe itself is encapsulated in a membrane. And you can see inside the membrane all of the billions of galaxies, not stars, but billions of galaxies of stars that are within the universe. And I'm looking at that, and then I'm looking across the top of it, and there's a horizon there. And as I look at that horizon, I see a round little on the right-hand side, as I'm viewing this, I see a round little face with a small little voice. And it is on the right-hand side, and it's facing from to the left, which would be to the west. And as I'm watching that, the creator of the universe then shows also that right on the far left-hand side of this horizon is a mass of gray raw power, the power of the universe, the power of the kingdoms, the power of the nations. They're in opposition to God. And I'm watching this, and then the round little face with a small little voice began to speak, and it spoke as a roaring lion. And it was so loud and so violent in its vibration and everything else that the entire universe shook. As I'm observing this open vision, I'm being shaken. And it said two things: gather, and then it said assemble. And then as those commands were given, because they were given as commands, instantly everything was gathered together.
Would you consider it like what you do in the Army when you get in formation?
Oh, absolutely. When you're participating in a large military force and you're one of the commanders, there is one of the commands, depending upon what the requirement of the ceremony is going to be, will be assemble.
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
And not only that, when everybody assembles, if you want to look at me, you will know exactly where I am. Isn't that not right? Because I better be in the same place every time.
Exactly. Yep.
So yeah. This is not only an assembly, it's an ordered assembly. I got that.
Yeah. And as you're explaining that, you end up having not only spirits and entities and people, but you have all powers, and everything else is aligned immediately. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's no options. It's done. But then I notice in this mass of dangerous power that's off on the left-hand side, like the nations, Western nations, might, as an example, would be part of that. And as I'm looking at that, I notice a very innocent little goat, baby goat, kid, a kitty. And you might, the thought comes across my mind that this may also symbolize a scapegoat that God may be putting in place. I didn't get that at the time. At the time, I got the understanding that this was an innocent entity in need of rescue from the powers. Okay?
Let's get this straight. Did you get that from the Holy Spirit? Or
yes.
Was this just something that you felt sorry for this goat?
No. This is a revelation from the Holy Spirit that shows that the need that was there, and I automatically responded, but I did it under presumption.
Okay, let's get this straight. We want to understand what presumption is.
All right. It was on my own volition. I didn't ask permission to take any action. I just took the action. That's presumption.
So in other words, you saw this poor little baby goat out there and you thought you could help it. So you just reached in there and grabbed, or tried to grab.
Well, now we got to explain another thing. I reached out and there was a veil between me and the universe, and the vision of the universe. And that's when I noticed there was this veil. And I just reached through it. I reached through it, directly through it. Well, now, what do you think that's doing? God has just put in motion and in place a command, and I'm reaching into it. What is that going to do?
You're tampering.
I'm tampering with what God has put in place, not realizing it. And God, of course, knew that. And he, in his mercy and in his grace, allowed this to happen because he knew I would describe what occurred, whether it was favorable to myself or unfavorable to myself. I would exactly describe everything. And that's what he wanted. I didn't realize.
You know, Brother Cohen, in the last program, came up with this scripture, 1 Corinthians 13:12. For now we see through a glass darkly.
But then
face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known.
That is correct.
So also, what we're doing, your perception of what's through that veil, maybe it wasn't quite what you think. You saw a goat, maybe it's something else.
Well, it could very easily be, because it could be any created being that God chooses.
Exactly.
But at the time, that's what I had identified it as. But at the same time, when this occurred, the next thing that happened is I realized I've done something wrong. I have I understood that I had directly interfered with what God was doing. At the same time, God says he will chasten those whom he loves. Well, here goes. As soon as I had reached through the veil towards that innocent little thing, immediately, instantly, a voice louder than many, many thunders spoke, and he said, "Who dares?" Now, I'm going to pause here because it's more like, "How dare you?" If you catch your child doing something that's very, very inappropriate or something like that, that how you would come down on them? Well, he came down on me. "Who dares to alter the appointed times and seasons put in place?"
Put in place, yes.
Yeah. And of course, instantly, as soon as he spoke that, I yanked my hand and arm out of the veil back, to myself. And immediately repented before God in the spirit, sought his forgiveness, and received his forgiveness. Now, remember what he said, "Who dares?" And this is a message to every scientist, to every world leader.
Yes.
To those involved in CERN, those involved in NASA, and in all of the other organizations that are tampering with the universe. This is to them. Specifically, and I'm very convinced of this now, even though it was given to me, it is not, I'm just this little round little voice, a round little face with a small little voice. That's all I am. But God is saying, as a warning, get your hands off. There's a group of people in NASA that I've heard of that are contemplating sending rockets up to the moon because they know that the moon and the eclipse is a bad omen. And instead of repenting before God, they're trying to get rid of the bad omen. How arrogant.
Or trying to alter its course.
Or alter its course. Now, when you alter the course, have you ever considered that it might come crashing down on Earth? Duh. That is one of the possibilities. Not it may not be a high probability, but it is a possibility. And I mentioned that because of the arrogance that's there. It's highly inappropriate before God. God is calling us, as we, you know, as we've indicated with the story of Jonah, and Nineveh, and the aspect that it's going over partial clips of it over five of the cities of Nineveh in the United States, and two of them directly over the very center of it. So, but it's touching all seven of them in the United States, and the one up in Nova Scotia and in Canada. So that's not by chance. It's purposely there. It's been in place since the creation of the universe, because God put all of these things in place. What did he say about the stars and the moon and the sun? They are for signs, for times, appointed times, and for seasons.
Let's get up Genesis 1:14 here a minute. And Elohim said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs. And seasons is really sort of a terrible translation there. It's because the word, Hebrew word, is moedim. And so it's for appointed feasts.
Yeah, appointed feasts is more accurate.
And for days and for years.
Yep.
We have these lights in the heavens. So when somebody says, oh, you can't do astrology, this is not astrology. This is our Heavenly Father warning us.
Yep.
Of things to come. And we need to pay attention.
Yep. Now, my reaction to all of this instantly was one of being, well, I don't even remember if I mentioned it, but when he spoke with all the thunders that he spoke with, that shook the entire universe again and shook me. And as the result of his chastisement, I was greatly grieved because I had caused such a, you know, turmoil. Unknowingly, yes, but still inexcusably, because I know better. I know that I need to. But at the same time, the Holy Spirit did withhold the acute awareness of having to request permission. I didn't receive that warning, or if I had, I wouldn't have ever done what I did, obviously. And knowing God, knowing that I would completely explain what I saw and what happened, and I would do it exactly the way that he showed me. And I knew at that point in time something very large and dangerous is about to happen, to take place. It is God's judgment, not man's judgment, but it's the beginning of God's judgment. And there are many that are in danger, even to the loss of salvation. I repeat that. It is a spiritual danger far greater than what we have ever seen. And we need to pay attention. We need to be on our knees before God and petition Him as His intercessors for those that are that He is calling as intercessors. Now, at this later date, here we are on the 2nd of April, I know that as I reflect on the vision, just as we are right now, that God wanted that message given out. But it's a message to all mankind. And He's serious. He's not playing around. Now is the time to repent before God.
Now is the time. Today is the day.
That is correct. Whether or not we will as a nation, and the problem is, just as David conducted the inappropriate census without the redeeming shekel, and the whole nation of Israel was held accountable because of his error, we as the citizens of the world are going to be held accountable for the actions of our evil, wicked leaders. And we have leadership that is human, that's wicked and evil, and we have leadership that is demonic, that is also in charge behind the scenes. And those that are in the Satan worship and so on, they understand that because they've already done their little rituals, thinking that they can placate the omen that's coming.
Absolutely. This, again, appears to me like to be the final repentance tour.
Yes.
And, folks, as it's going through these cities, the clock could very well be ticking. Will we see judgment in 40 days after the end of this eclipse? Now,
exactly.
Was it you, Professor Tom, that said there's a feast day that comes about 40 days after
this ends? Yes, Pentecost.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, isn't it interesting that the whole world, most of the Catholic Church and many of the Christian Church are celebrating Easter with its egg-laying rabbit? And I asked the question, Jesus was the Passover lamb. When is Passover? You've got to have Passover before you have resurrection. And Passover isn't officially until later this month. So what was being celebrated here last weekend?
Well, okay, this is where some interesting things have come up. If you go to the book of Exodus, you're supposed to observe Passover, or the first month, with the testing of the barley harvest. If the barley is mature and green, you have a new year. Well, the people in Israel tested the barley, and our new year started. The new year started March 23rd.
Yep.
And so from that point forward, we've already had our Passover. No, March 23rd wasn't the right day. I've lost that. I didn't think I'd have to talk about it tonight, but you see, we are already in the new year, Shannon.
Yeah, the biggest problem we have is a guy by the name of Constantine in AD 227 or 25. I'm sorry, at the Council of Nicaea, where he chaired that council.
Yes, and which was inappropriate for him to do.
Very inappropriate. But he did it because he wanted to make sure that Christianity became the platform for the worship of all religions. That's why we have Easter. It's a fertility rite.
Why we have Christmas, and why we have a lot of other false,
yes,
false days.
May Day.
I mean... You go in the Catholic Church, they got 200 feast days. Well, I'm sorry, we can't feed all these people with 200 feast days.
No. But at any rate, the names that we go by, that we in our generation, 2,000 years from the last time that it was altered, we don't even know that history. We don't even realize that we've been hoodwinked all these thousands of years. Now, why in the, you know, I look at it and I ponder why on earth, when we had the protestation, the Protestant movement away from all of this garbage that has been incorporated into the Christian faith, why on earth, when that happened, didn't we change back to the appointed times and feasts of God? Because that explains the redemption. It explains the salvation. Because Jesus is the Redeemer. He is the redemption.
Yes.
He is our salvation. And you can't have salvation without redemption first. And you don't get that.
You got to put it back on on the first reformer, Luther.
Yeah.
Because he was antinomian. He wanted to throw out the Old Testament and just study the New.
True. Yeah.
And when he did that, suddenly we don't have a foundation anymore. So we're not going back there and looking for these things that we should be looking for. And we're not studying these things. Instead, we're pointing at the New Testament and trying to make it answer our questions. But the trouble is, and I've had rabbis say this to me, that you can make anything you want out of the New Testament. You have to have the Torah and the prophets to get the total picture.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because everything in the New Testament is dependent on Old Testament prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the book of Revelation has an Old Testament verse to back up every verse in Revelation. So you can't divorce the two.
No.
When John Mark did Revelation, he was very cognizant of the Old Testament. He was he was young. He was a scribe, but he was still young enough to do it. But I guarantee you, he still had Peter, he still had Paul, he still had John. He had all those apostles to deal with. So every time he would write something, he would always have a loose end. Like at the end of Revelation 16, what does he do? He brings up Babylon for the first time. Doesn't explain what he means. He just figures we're supposed to know just from reading Jeremiah and Isaiah and all the other books. But of course they say, no, guys. You're going to have to explain it, John. You just can't leave us hanging here. Suddenly we have 17, we have 18, we have 19. And John Mark explains it all perfectly. And then afterwards, he goes into Revelation 20, 21, 22, and 23, and he finishes it all up really clean. And suddenly we have a chance for everybody to have redemption. But we also have a time of testing at the end of the millennial reign to make sure that those who are born during that period of time are really, truly following our Heavenly Father.
Mm-hmm. That their heart is right with God.
For today's program, we only have 5 minutes left, and we've just scratched the surface. I got to get y'all back as soon as you're able. keep this thing going. Many people have said, we're Tom Mack and Tom Baird. Well, we got them here tonight. I'm going to keep them on the program. We've just got to work around their schedules. Gentlemen, it seems to me then, and kind of wrapping up tonight, part one, if you will, that we've come off the rails in the church. We don't know what time it is, and we're not on God's calendar of time. I have to just thank the Lord that we still have some signs in the heavenlies. You know, yes, we'd be in the dark.
Exactly.
And so this is a big thing, folks, that occurring. This is not a chance occurrence that it's going over these cities called Jonah and Nineveh. I believe that the judgment of God is ready to pour out. You know, gentlemen, you know, you're familiar with Dimitri Dudeman's prophecies, just like I am.
Yes.
And if you look at the southern border, up to 10 million have already come through. I made a quick trip back to America, and I've never seen so many foreigners in all my life. And I have nothing against people that want to make a better life for themselves if they'll do it the right way. But I didn't even see what's going on in Texas. There's people everywhere. I ran into one Uber driver who was from Cuba, two ladies from Venezuela. I ran into one person from Africa. I just had a sampling. And, you know, there's some good people that came to the border. But what if just 1% of this 10 million that came through are advanced forces for the invasion?
Yeah.
That's up to 100,000 that are in this country right now. I'm just saying 1% of 10 million. Am I doing my math right? 100,000? 10 million?
Yeah.
Yep. What if even half of a percent are nefarious characters? And I believe that there are in the border right now people that are waiting for the instructions. Maybe they've already begun to act with this Francis Scott Key Bridge over there. That's a whole
and
program.
And also another bridge in Oklahoma.
Yes.
A barge ran into it. They're telling me there's a third one too, but I haven't been able to track that down yet.
Janie Duvall has been having some great guests on her YouTube channel, and many people are basically saying the same thing. We're in the end times, and some are even looking for an attack on America in the next 24 months. They're talking about the Shemitah cycles, and they're talking about signs in the sky. And one guy is even convinced that the Great Tribulation could very well be imminent. I don't know yet.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to make some sense out of it like everybody else. But with this dream warning that you had, Major Tom, that's not an accident. What would you say, gentlemen, in summation tonight that we need to do that are tuning in?
We need to be aware that God has set forth the appointed times. Doesn't matter what man is going to try to do, it's still there. It's going to happen. And we need to repent individually and pray for repentance for our leadership, that we might then begin to prepare for his coming, because it's not going to be for the faint of heart. If we don't have an earnest experience and desire from the Holy Spirit himself coming into our heart from Christ himself, we're not going to make it. It's going to take all the power of the Holy Spirit to keep just us. In fact, remember what it says in the scriptures, that if Moses or Elijah were alive, they could only save themselves. They couldn't save the rest of the nation.
That's right.
I'll find that for you.
Absolutely, folks. This country's toast if it doesn't repent. And, you know, even with Nineveh, there was given an opportunity to repent. I'm not saying that there could not be a repentance now, but do I really think it's going to happen? Absolutely not. Are you kidding me? It says bring fruits meet for repentance. We do not have the leadership right now that would call the same type of mass repentance that was required at that time to stave off judgment. Just assume that judgment's coming, folks. And we've had more than one witness. Let every word be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses that judgment was coming. Even Dimitri Dudeman's warning was 40 years ago. That's the number I was looking for. One guy brought out,
yes,
that warning came in 84. That's 40 years ago.
Yes.
That's right.
You know, we didn't repent as a nation. Individuals, yes. One more thing I want to say, and then I want you gentlemen to give out your contact info and close in prayer, and that is, I think it's kind of morbid that many people, up to millions, are going to certain places in this country right now to catch this eclipse. Now, I don't believe these are believers. I think these are thrill seekers that really don't have an idea what this is all about. It might be like wanting to have a front seat for Pompeii. I wouldn't put it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past the Lord to bring some terrible event on this country imminently. I've said for a few years, I believe the fear of God is going to return. We've lost the fear of the Lord in the churches in this country, and I think that's next chapter. The fear of the Lord is about to be made manifest. Gentlemen, give out your contact information. How can they reach both of you?
Okay, this is Major Tom Baird, retired. You can reach me at tom@aliveontheedge.com as an email, and we do have a website that's also called aliveontheedge.com, and we really need to get before the Lord and circumcise our own hearts, tender our hearts, keep our hearts tender to God in everything that we do. For those are the most important things that can ever exist. Nothing, all of these toys and things and power and prestige, they're not going to cross over into heaven. They stop at the border. When our body stops, it stops. So be ready for eternity, not just for this moment. And Tom, go ahead with yours, please.
Okay, I'm going to quote the scripture, Ezekiel 14:14. So these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it. They should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Master Yahuwah.
Yeah, that's right.
Only their souls. And these are three very righteous men. The Bible says they were righteous.
Yes.
Folks, this is not going to be a common year.
No, it is not.
People are talking about the offering up of the red heifers. We've got this solar eclipse going over these cities that have been mentioned in this program called Nineveh. We've got the rise of the World Economic Forum. The next president of the United States will be determined this year or not. I maintain that the communists in power will not go silently into the night. And if they don't steal the election for the second time, they may try to delay it. I'm not saying Trump is a savior, but I like him a lot better than what's up there now. We're in some serious trouble. And if we're thinking that this is just going to go on forever, or a time of great prosperity is coming to America, I just don't see that. I see a time of judgment. And we've had a long time to repent. And if the nation doesn't repent, then it's going to get everything that was prophesied, to include Red Dawn invasion. And of course, we've got the globalists who want to collapse America. There's no other reason to have this invasion, but you want to destroy America and turn it into a third world nation, and it will no longer be able to stand in the gap for freedom, and or they're going to take it and, you know, use it as a major beast power. I mean, I know there's different schools of thoughts on that, you know, it may be ground zero for the who can make war with the beast. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but I know this, if ever you need to pray and go all in for Jesus, it's right now. I want you gentlemen to close us in prayer. And Professor Tom, how long do you think it'll take you to recoup from the surgery? Any idea? Before you want to do your next program?
I should be home the same day.
So, gentlemen, let me know what you got available. Next week, week after, whatever you got available in your schedule, let's keep this thing going, because there's a lot more to talk about. Agreed?
A lot.
Amen. Yes.
You want to close us in prayer?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yes, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this moment. We thank you that you have chosen us to be alive for such a time as this. We ask, Lord, that you equip us now, strengthen us, prepare our hearts, and prepare us to prepare others to draw all that we can into your kingdom, O God, that there shall be as many who are saved that are beyond counting. We pray, O Lord, for your hand upon us, for your guidance, for your righteousness, for your truth, and for your love and peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Gentlemen, one more time, your websites, please, and email.
Our website is aliveontheedge.com. Email tom@aliveontheedge.com.
Okay, and in my case, whitestonefoundation.org and biblecodes.co. We'll have a few more up there. And, in fact, there's an interesting A.A. Allen one up there.
Fantastic.
It seems he had some difficulties.
You know, I'm looking at the
schedule. We'll talk about that another time.
Next week, I've got Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 8 Eastern. If you would like any of those dates, you'll talk about it amongst yourself and let me know if you'd like one of those dates. 8 Eastern, Monday,
okay,
Wednesday,
Friday. Okay, sounds great.
God bless you both.
Wonderful.
What shall we call tonight's episode for the archive?
The Vision.
Okay. The Visions of the Night.
Let's do it.
I don't think Major Baird's done with these visions.
I believe the Lord has more to give you.
Well, no, God may mean it. God is not the one done with them yet.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't think he's done using you to see them.
Absolutely not. Absolutely.
Amen.
Love you both. Thank you for coming on.
The Lord be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
See y'all next time. Folks, that was a powerful program. I will work to get them on next week. They can have any of those three dates they want. Okay. Let me save this. We'll be right back.